lights up for us. Thank you, worship team. Hey, I need you to vote on something. Will it be okay if I preach if I let you out by one? Yeah. That's only because you just had a Holy Spirit moment. I know what you're really thinking. Hey, I'm so thrilled we've been in the middle of a series, and we've been calling it 2019, the year of. And the first Sunday, we called it the year of excellence. Last week, we called it the year of change. And today, we're calling it the year of purpose. The year of purpose. Now, it doesn't matter what age you are with this, because most people assume that this is an old person thing. But if you ever walk into a room and get in there and you go, I have no idea why I'm here. I mean, what did I come in here to do? Now, I understand age really helps that process. It really does. It assists it a great deal. But if you walk in there, you know what? If you've done that, guess what? When you walked in that room, you lost your purpose. Really, something to think about. That's exactly what you did. You just lost your purpose. I came in here, there's something, and now I don't know. Robert Byron said this, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. Now, I know there's sometimes little cliches, we just turn things around, but think about the process. He said, the purpose, the reason we're here of life is so that we will have a life of purpose, so that something's happening. You and I both feel empty inside when there's not a purpose, there's not a driving force, there's not a reason to do something, and it just makes us feel lost. Without a purpose, you're like a ship without a rudder. You're just at the mercy of the waves and the wind. And next thing you know, you could find yourself just going around in circles and just drifting, possibly becoming shipwrecked. Worst of all, you're just all of this potential is in there. You're full of cargo, if you will, but you never reach your destination. That's a horrible, horrible place to be. Now listen, I understand sometimes life throws us these loops where we don't exactly know what we're going to do next. You know, when the factory closes or you get laid off and things like that, you don't know what you're going to do. That's not the same as not knowing your purpose. We still have a purpose, but it's not because we have a title and a job and a destination every day from 8 to 5. It's because we have a destination that's established in God. So purpose, by definition, is simply this. It's the reason for which something exists. It's the reason for which something is done. It's the reason for which something is made. You know, you have a hammer, you know what its purpose is. You have a crescent wrench, you know what its purpose is. You have a mop, you know what... Well, you remember a mop, don't you? The kids don't know what a mop is. They don't even know what a vacuum cleaner is. They don't even remember what a cassette tape player is. Sometimes it's an educational process. But without that, you know, it's the reason. So the cool thing about purpose is it answers the question, why? Why am I here? I mean, is this all that there is? Have you ever come to that point? You go, is this all that there is? You know, I mean, why do I exist? But we like to answer the question how when it's a different perspective. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to manage? How am I going to get from here to there? But the why is the thing that's always the stumbling block. Why am I here? Why is all this supposed to be meaningful, but it isn't meaningful to me? It's because purpose hasn't been defined, or it's lack of definition. You've lost it. Somewhere in the mix there, you've lost the reason that you're really, really there. You've walked into the room of life, and you go, why am I here? I have no idea. And it's a sad, sad place, especially if you're being observed. I did this just last night at my house. I walked in there, stood right there, you know, and Debbie's, you know, the bed with our grandchild, and I'm just looking at her like, it'll click in a minute. Click in a minute, and it did, but I don't remember why. 2019, you got to understand, needs to be a year of purpose. Knowing the reason for my existence. Because 2018 became 2019, and 2019 is going to become 2020, but it's not going to have any significance, and a lot of cool things aren't going to happen if we go through that void of knowing exactly why we're here in the first place. So let me ask you a couple of questions that help identify whether you're having a little bit of struggle with your purpose, okay? The first question is this. Do you wake up excited in the morning? Why is that funny? I understand there's the wrong place to start is right there, okay? You get excited about anointing. Now listen, here's the deal. If the answer is no, guess what? You probably struggle with a little bit of purpose. Because getting up in the morning and being excited isn't about you jump out of bed going, woohoo! Because most of us crawl out of bed. Most of us fall out of bed. We just kind of worm out of bed, you know, into the shower, a couple cup of coffee. My wife used to say, is it okay if I quote my wife? Okay. She used to say, I don't know if God exists before two cups of coffee. Yeah. And that's why she's not doing real good on the Daniel fast either. Just got to tell you, a little transparent thing there from the Mubern household. But do you wake up excited in the morning? If you don't, then maybe you're off purpose a little bit. But when you're living on purpose, you wake up excited. You know why? Because a potentially exciting day awaits you. It's not because you're going to this exciting job that you can't wait to go to. It's not because you're going to see all these people that just energize you. It's because you personally in God have this potential of an exciting day. So please don't ever let the circumstances or the weather rob that from you. The second question is this. Do you have high highs and low lows? I mean, you're really, really high at one moment, and then you're really, really low at the other. Those extremes are not the way we're made. I love mountaintops, and I understand we learn a lot through the valleys, but I like it when it's level, and we get a level playing field every now and then that I get to participate without just going crazy. Dan Millen said this, I've always believed that a life of quality, enjoyment, and wisdom was my human birthright and would be automatically bestowed upon me as time passed. I never suspected that I would have to learn how to live, that there were specific disciplines and ways of seeing the world that I had to master before I could awake to a simple, happy, uncomplicated life. High highs and low lows. Third question is this. Do you feel life is unfulfilling? That you're just not getting enough out of life? And I tell you what, it's always horrible when your life is a struggle, so to speak, and then you hear quotes from people like Helen Keller. Everybody knows Helen Keller's story. Blind, mute. Oh my gosh, she had so many struggles. Communication was just a miracle in itself. But this is what she said. Many persons have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. A worthy purpose. Man, when you have a worthy purpose, you are something to be dealt with because you are on a tear. You've got a life to live. You're going somewhere. And guess what? People see that. People see that. Number four, are you surrounded by people who are bringing you down? Don't look around. Just ask yourself the question. Are you surrounded by people who are bringing you down? I mean, you know, surrounded by people who are, I started to say nagging, but I'm afraid that would just kind of drift into a marital situation. But people who are criticizing, complaining, always condemning you. I mean, stop and think about it. I read not too long ago that we are the sum total of the five people that we hang around the most. Pick out your five people that interact with you on a constant basis, how they get in there, what they say, how they make you feel, all those other things. We're the sum total of that. You better start picking your friends very carefully. Because if you don't have purpose, it might be because you have some of these people in life. But if you have purpose, you spend your time, the majority of your time, with people who inspire you, empower you. They encourage you. You know what? They encourage you to what? To be a better person. If you're not careful, you'll want to hang around people that you're better than because it's easier to look down on that instead of people that are better than you that you need to reach up to. When it comes to a job, it comes to a task. You know, I like when I like to play golf, I like to play with people that have never seen a golf club before. Makes me feel Arnold Palmer-ish, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm the Golden Bear. But when I would play with people that really know what they're doing, I kind of get a few lessons. But I'm challenged to be better. Number five is, are you afraid to dream? Are there just a ton of things that you would love to do, but you've just never found the courage to do them? There's just something that's always held you back. I've got kids to feed, or I've got a job, or I've got this, I've got that, you know, whatever. I'm too old, I'm too young. Things that you really want to do, but you just have failed to dream. It probably is because you're not finding a whole lot of purpose. But with purpose, you spend your time doing the things that you love the most. And it might as well be your purpose because you know what? We're going to do the things that we want to do. Hopefully, it's the things that we love to do. And hopefully, above that, it's the things that we should be doing. Listen, there's a... Abraham Maslow said this, if you deliberately plan on being less than you are capable of being, then I warn you that you'll be unhappy the rest of your life. capable of being, but you don't reach it. The sixth question is this: is life sapping you of energy? Hey, forget that exciting getting out of bed thing. If life's sapping you out of energy, all you want to do is stay in bed. I mean, is life just a paycheck, getting the kids off to school, going through your routine, all the chores you have, and all of the stuff you got to do, and then you just repeat it? Listen, if you need to get through the week just for the weekend, or if you're just trying to make it through until vacation, it might be that your purpose has gotten a little confused in there, and God wants to clarify that for you today so that you can be someone who says, this year has been a year of purpose. I mean, man, I've seen these things, and God is doing them. It's pretty cool. With purpose, here's the cool thing. Your job, your responsibility, school, whatever, it not only becomes your reason and why you need to do something, a purpose, but it becomes your calling as well. There's a lot of people that go to their jobs every day, and they don't take their calling with them. You know, they can't wait to go to church to fulfill God's will for their life, so to speak. And, you know, God's planted you right in the middle of a whole lot of people that you work with, and that's your calling. That's your calling. You know what? There's a reason you're in the family that you're in. Now, you might question that, and you might find a whole lot of things to scrutinize, criticize, or whatever. You might find somebody else's family you'd rather be a part of theirs. But God's put you in that family for a reason, because that is your calling. You know, I think the cool thing is that when you combine your purpose and your calling, it's almost like somebody seeing you work and play or labor and leisure. They don't know the difference. You're having fun. I mean, why don't you just freak somebody else and enjoy yourself at work? And why don't you students just freak somebody else and enjoy going to school? I love it when, after Christmas break, I always ask kids, hey, you excited to go back to school? And you hear the ones that go, yeah. You know what? The younger they are, the more, yeah, it is. The older they are, they go, huh. I mean, you know, they sound like me, you know. It's just horrible. It's because purpose defines us. Listen, the last one is this. Are you constantly thinking you'll be happier when this happens, when that happens, when that rich uncle dies, and he just hangs on and hangs on. Come on, somebody pull the plug. That's horrible. I can't believe I said that. The reason I can say that, I'll never be the rich uncle. I don't have any money. I got grandkids. Listen, you're not enjoying the journey, are you? But listen, you need to understand, this is indeed a journey. It's not a destination. Your purpose isn't to find this place and go, we got there, yippee. No, it's about the journey. It's the things that we love on the way. You know, you hear those little things about, you know, we need to appreciate the little things in life. We need to smell the roses along the path, all of that kind of stuff. It sounds like cute little poetic stuff, but it's the truth. We need to enjoy all of these things, because guess what? It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. But there's always a purpose ahead of you, no matter what. And God has this incredible thing reached out for you. If you're defined by anxiety and stress, I would challenge you to check your purposes or the lack thereof, because God wants this year to be a year of purpose, not a year of just, can we just get through it? I mean, that's my attitude of winter, quite honestly. God really challenges me all about that. I see all these pictures from Oklahoma City and snow, and we don't have any. I'm going, yes. Now, I know you hate me for that, and that's okay. But you got to understand, whenever I think of snow, I think of, oh, I got to shovel the snow. I got to ice so people won't break their hip and sue the church. You know, I'm all of this stuff. Isn't it horrible? You know what? When I was doing this, God says, straighten up your act. And I said, when I get to heaven. Because there's no snow in heaven. You know what I'm saying. You know where I'm going with all this. You know, it's just a matter of all these things. So the priceless pressure of life is escaping us because we don't have a purpose. George Leonard said this: the rewards gained along the way are fine, but they are not anything compared to the main reason for the journey. You know what? When people do say goodbye for you the last time, when you're the one laying in that cruel box right up here in the front of the church, what are they going to say about you? Wow, they really enjoyed life. They really got everything they could out of life. You know what? I can tell you right now what they were all about. Because it was so obvious the way they lived their life, the things that rolled out for their lips, the things that they gave examples for us. We know exactly what that person was all about. Instead of the preacher having to come up with a whole lot of things to make you look good at the last minute. I'm just kidding. I think you look good all the time. You know, everybody remembers the Purpose-Driven Life, the book that was written by Rick Warren. This is what he said. He said, if you look at the world, you'll get distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll find rest. When you look at Christ, you'll find rest. He has one other word to it, rest and peace. And all of us are looking for that. So we're going to look at God's purposes today. And I understand that it's important because we need to live here with a little bit of traction, something that we can put our foot on and it's solid and it's foundational. Because sometimes we get so busy with our lives, we forget the purpose behind it. We're driven by the demands of life instead of the purposes of life, and we don't even know what's going on. So we don't want to leave here going and making a buck for somebody else just so that we can get through life and put food on our own table. No, we want to have something within us that says, this is meaningful to me. So I asked 7 questions about identifying whether maybe you're struggling with your purpose. Let me give you 7 things about God's purposes that hopefully will really encourage you today. The first one is simply this. God has a purpose for everyone. That's right. Just like salvation is for everyone, God has a purpose for everyone. In the Hebrew, the word purpose simply means this, master plan, or God's spoken purpose. So every time you can think of the purpose God's given you, it's something that God said about you and not something you dreamed up. There's a reason that you have the personality you have, that the traits you have. Now, some of that can be trained and altered by life, but for the most part, God has built you to be that way. If you're an extrovert, God bless you, and hopefully you don't kill people with that. If you're an introvert and you just kind of need to lay back, that's okay too, because God has some incredible blessings in that. But God has a purpose for every one of us. The Bible says in Exodus 9:16, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." God has a purpose for everyone, including Pharaoh. That's not God talking to Moses about Moses. God said, "Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh this." He says, "I've raised you up for this very purpose." Man, God has a purpose for everyone, even the ones that resist you, even the ones that aren't right there in your most favorite friendship category. That's what God has. The second thing is God's purposes can't be undone. The scripture says in Job, remember Job? Job having all of these difficulties, his health was gone, his family was gone, he lost everything. And the Bible says, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." Can I replace that word purpose for the Hebrew word? It says, "I know that you can do all things. No master plan of yours can be thwarted." God still has a plan for your life. And when you don't feel you have a purpose, you feel like the whole part of that is also that there's no plan. Now, the plan is there. That's why you have a purpose, because God's working in you. He establishes his purpose in everybody's life, and nobody can change that. Listen, God is working everything for our good. Even through the difficult stuff in our life, God is working on that. Third thing, God's purpose is the one that lasts. The Bible says in Proverbs, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way. Let's look at it in the context of, since we're talking about purpose. It is the pursuit of God's purpose that gives us purpose. If you don't have anything else to, you know, hitch the wagons to, hitch it to the fact that I am going to search God's will. I am going to find out his purpose for my life. There's nothing more gratifying than going through that process of searching and digging into Scripture and praying and finding why God put us here in the first place. I got saved in the middle of my senior year, 17 years old. I'm brand new, baby Christian, don't know what's going on. And I knew pretty quick that I need to find out where I fit in all of this. I went to church, and it wasn't that I didn't fit. It's just that I didn't know what was going on. That wasn't my background. That wasn't my normal. So having to learn how to go to church. But you know what? The sad thing is a lot of people learn how to go to church, but they never find out what God's purpose is for them sitting in that very church. There's a reason you're here. And God wants to expose that, but he wants to magnify that in your own heart. There's a purpose that lasts, God says. Every plan we make should begin and end with God in mind. Number 4, every person is born with purpose. I don't know if you believe that or not, but you have to believe it because it's God's word. Here it says in Proverbs, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." All of us are born with purpose. Let me put it a different way. Every one of us have meaning. Every one of us are significant. Every one of us are one of God's greatest ideas. I love saying that to people. You're one of God's best ideas. Because I know how it is to look in the mirror and wonder if God was really paying attention the day he made me. I'm wondering if it was just Harry and Rose and God had to go along with the act. I'm wondering where I really fit. Am I really making a significant contribution? Am I making a difference? You know, we go through those moments. And Satan loves to sit on your shoulder and go, I can answer every one of those questions for you. No, no, and no. But we look at this and God has a purpose for all of us and we question that. All of us were born with a purpose and a calling. Remember I talked about a calling a little while ago. And our job is to discover that so that we can put it into action. Guess who helps us with this? Over in the New Testament, Jesus left and he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And he is going to be a counselor and he will guide you and he will lead you. Your purposes may not be defined by a resume, but it will be defined in your heart as you pursue God and ask God to qualify you and reveal to you his purpose in your life. Now what your purpose is as you live his life. It's powerful how that goes. There's nothing better than knowing you're at the right place at the right time and God confirms it by his Holy Spirit. Number five, God fulfills his purpose for all of our believers. In the Greek, these next scriptures are in the Greek because they're in the New Testament. And in the Greek, the definition of purpose literally comes to the point of saying deliberately intending. Deliberate intention. What God deliberately decided to do, what he intended, that's what you need to see when you see these words purpose. Philippians 2 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose, to fulfill his deliberate intention in you. You are not a mistake. You are not a test trial. You are not a risk. You are what God deliberately intended. And you need to understand that because when that sets deep in your spirit, all of a sudden you begin to have purpose. You know why? Because this person named God said, I deliberately intended for you to be here on this purpose, on this planet, at this moment. I deliberately chose that. You know what? That's an appointment. That's an appointment with power. That is some qualifying moments. That is somebody giving his all for all of that. So we may be offered opportunities every now and to do things that don't fit into that purpose. Listen, life tends to throw us things that we got to figure out whether we're going to really do this or not. You've heard this comment so many times where somebody is given the opportunity of a job, but it means a transfer. When the transfer is really not the problem, at least on that person part, but then you got to start thinking in the whole context, is this what God wants me to do? Is this my purpose? Is it going to uproot my children? Is it going to take us to another town? Am I just following the dollars, if you will? I've got to find out what God's purpose is and pursue that. My son, when he was growing up, I was a youth pastor, and as he began to get older, people would tell him, say, you know what, you're going to be a youth pastor. You're going to be a youth pastor, just like your dad. That was the worst part of they said those things. You know, because then there was this image that he felt like he was supposed to. And my son went to 7 universities before he graduated. You know what he was doing? He was trying to find his niche. He was trying to find what God wanted him to do. He even went to Evangel College and tried out for the football team. You know why? Because I went to Evangel and played football. All right? So he did all of this stuff. Finally, I got a hold of him. I said, son, you've been everywhere. You've been everywhere, man. I said, the wallet is empty, okay? You got to graduate. I don't care what you get your degree in. Just graduate for crying out loud. And then he became a youth pastor and understood, hey, I'm loving this. He loved it. You know what my son is doing right now? He is teaching history to 8th graders at Skiatook. And you know what? He's never been any more alive in his life than he is right now. He loves going to that school. He loves those kids. You know what he's doing? He's pastoring every one of those 8th graders who come in there every day. I'm telling you, that's what he's doing. He's not teaching. Or he thinks he's teaching. Yeah, but he is pastoring. And he just loves it. He talks about him all the time. I've never seen him more alive. You know why? He's found his purpose. And it lines up with his vocation. But more importantly, it lines up with his heart and his spirit that God has given. I've never been prouder of him than what he's doing right now. Of course, he's making a ton of money. Yeah, but it's just amazing. Number six, God works through all situations to fulfill our purpose. Everything that you go through, God is working through that to fulfill His purpose. Romans 8:28, everybody probably almost recognizes this. Probably right after John 3:16, this is one of the ones we memorize. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, who've been called according to His deliberate intention. Hard times make it very difficult to see God's purpose. It clouds the thing. It muddies the water. I understand that. And especially when you're going through pain or you're going through grief or there's just things that just always seem to come up against you, whether it's finances or whatever. It just always happens. But do we really believe that God is working through all of these for our good to bring us to a sense of knowing what our purpose is? We need to understand that He is. Listen, I'm sorry that some of you suffer from whatever. Whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's emotional, whether it's some spiritual struggles, maybe financial, I don't know. But through all of that, I know it's tough. We don't necessarily have to wear a smile through all and say, well, bless God, I'm really happy, and fake it. But in the midst of all of that, don't lose the sight that God has a purpose for all that. He's going to use it for your good. He's going to take something out of that and really, really use it as a tool in your life to make a really awesome work in your life. The last thing, God has a greater purpose in saving us all. There's a greater purpose in saving us all. Sometimes we want to know, where's my gift? Where's my attitude? Where's my contribution? Should I be a greeter? Should I be a Sunday school teacher? Should I be a volunteer in this area, volunteer in that area? We don't know when we're trying to find out some of those things. But don't ever lose sight of the fact that God saved us for a specific purpose, far beyond the jobs and the duties we do, whether it's in the church or outside of the church. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Man, God has a tremendous thing for us out there. Salvation is only the beginning. If you're saved and then life has been coasting, you need to get in gear and understand God has a purpose far greater than that. Far greater than that. And you know what? I'm not accusing anybody of being selfish. Well, I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm good. No, I understand that. But you know, the reason, if you do say that and you believe that, there's still something empty in there. You know why? Because salvation is only the beginning. God wants to do something dynamic with your life, and it starts with salvation. We're saved to do good works for the name of Jesus. And we have to understand, we have this promise of eternity. We've been released from the bondage of our sin so that God can use us for greater purposes. And we need to understand, we are put here for a reason. I've said that several times. But remember the definition that I said earlier of purpose? It's the reason something exists. So we have been here because there's a reason that we exist. There's a reason that we've been put here on planet Earth. So what is His purpose for you? That's a question that I can't answer. It's not my job to answer that. God will answer that question. If you can't fully answer it, I understand, but you need to get to a point to where you can answer that question. You know why? Because it answers the question, why? Why do I read my Bible? Why do I pray? Why do I go to church? Why do I feel like I have to hang out with other Christians? Why do I go to worship? Why do I do all these things? Why do I give in the offering? Why do I say no to so many things that the world does, but I say yes to the things that I should do as a Christian? It's because God has this incredible purpose in your life. And it bleeds over into other people's life. It's called influence. Here's the difficult thing. God's purposes are perfect, but we aren't. God's purposes are perfect. We aren't. If there's a weak link in this thing, it's not God's end. It's our end. It's on what we bring to this. Let me just tell you, there's three things that usually kind of disrupt this whole thing of really realizing to the fullest of its potential God's purposes in our life. The first is a sinful life. When we are living in sin, I know we're in church and a lot of times we want to hear, you know, sermons that make us feel better. That's usually probably one of the weakest things that a lot of churches do, is they want to build you up. They want to give you a good self-help talk and bless your God and God loves you and whatever. But sometimes at the expense of understanding that we live in sin. And every time I sin, guess what? I thwart the purposes of God. Not only do I hurt God, not only do I grieve the Holy Spirit, but I really impede. It's like, you know, blocking God's communication to me to the purposes to fulfill in my life is because I have sin. Another thing that happens is we doubt. We doubt that God will ever use us. We see ourselves, we diminish ourselves, just like the way we'd look in the mirror and find every flaw. We think of the things that maybe God would like to do us, and we go, no, that's not me. I would never be that way, whatever. We start finding other people that should do it versus us because we just can't do those things. Can I just tell you, the only reason you'd be unqualified is God told you you're unqualified. And I've read this Bible from front to back, and I've never seen that God said one time, you're disqualified. You're it. I'm never going to use you. Good luck. See you later. No, not at all. God is accepting and He wants to help us with this. He will use you. That's His purpose. That's His deliberate intent. You know why? Because you're His choice. So let's quit doubting that. The last thing is fear. We're fearful that this thing really won't happen. There's a four-letter word in our life that really tends to have a little more prominence than it should. It's called risk. It's called risk. God challenges us, and where He wants us to trust Him, we turn it into, well, I think I need to risk this. And most people will play it safe before they'll take on a risk, because it's easier to ride out the status quo than it is to take the risk of being better and using a greater capacity and having a bigger impact and serving in the middle of God's will, because I've identified, and He has helped me identify His purposes. God forbid that we ever leave ourselves. Listen, don't listen to life. Listen to God. Don't look to life. Look to God. You bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Father, I ask that in the next few moments that You will help us to overcome these things that stand before us, and not only what we would call the perfect will of God, but simply the purposes of our lives, the purposes of God as they exist in our life. Father, God forbid there's a single mom or dad that feel like they just have to go to work and bring in money because now I have the label and the responsibility to feed these kids. What a horrible purpose in life. God forbid, Lord Jesus, that any mom would take care of their kids and wash their clothes simply because they need clean clothes. No, there's a greater purpose. There's a greater purpose. They were put in that life. They had those children so that they could raise them up to be awesome, incredible, God-fearing, God-serving children that will grow up and to be incredible, fantastic, productive adults. God, there's a reason we go to work. And God forbid that we go to work and we just sit there and go through the motion and we can't wait to 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever so that we can get out of this place. God forbid that any student go to school and just make it through algebra and English and all of the other stuff so that they can just finally leave school. No, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for them being in that school. There's a purpose that we're in this family. There's a purpose we're in this church. And greater than that, Father, there's a reason we're in Claremore, Oklahoma. We have been planted here by the will of God for a greater purpose than us. And I pray, Father, You help us identify this purpose so the year of 2019, we will not look back and wonder, but we'll be able to look back and qualify. We'll be able to look back and understand exactly why God put me here and begin to see the fruits of why He planted me here. He didn't place me here so that I could just ride life out. He planted me here, and I quote Jesus Christ, so that I might have life and life more abundantly. If you're just living, it's called an existence. If you have a purpose, it's called the reason for your existence. God forbid we just be alive, wake up day in and day out, crawl out of bed, breathe in, breathe out, drive our cars to work, do our stuff, come home, eat supper, go back to bed, and rewind and do the same thing all over again. God forbid that. There's no vacation that can take you out of that loop. Oh, it might be fun for a week or two, but you're going to be right back in. Unless, and I believe with all my heart, unless we find purpose. Some of us haven't witnessed to someone in years because we've lost the reason for our purpose. Our purpose is to bleed over, influence, and to tell people about the wonderful grace that God gave me in saving me. Some of us, life has become just a dreary moment. It's that perpetual black cloud that hangs over our head, instead of looking beyond that cloud into the face of our loving God and seeing all the reasons that He put us here. So this is an easy challenge to make, and I realize peer pressure will go into this. But if you really want to know what God's purpose is, if you really want to know what God's purpose is, you want this year to be a year of purpose and not just another year you clocked in and clocked out, then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you want this year to be purposeful, on purpose, that God has identified something in my life, I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to be this kind of mom. I'm going to be this kind of dad. I'm going to be this kind of student. I'm going to be this kind of employee. I'm going to be this kind of church member. I'm going to be this kind of citizen. I'm going to be this kind of clerk. I'm going to be this kind of salesperson. I'm going to be this kind of employee. That this year is going to take a turn right now because I'm tired of being nothing and I'm tired of life telling me what to do. Instead, I want to hear God tell me what to do. And you know what? You're going to find that not a whole lot changes. Your title isn't going to change. You're still mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, son or daughter, aunt or uncle. You know, those titles aren't going to change. Your place isn't going to change. You're not going to leave here and go somewhere else. You're going to go right back to where you are because that's where God placed you, because that's where you're going to fulfill your purpose. And there's nothing more exciting than knowing you have a purpose, you have a reason. I hope you go to lunch today. And instead of just going through the motions of having lunch, that somewhere in there, that you look silly, you look in each other's face, but you know what? For the longest time, I realized what Pastor Dave's doing. You know, we just come and we just do lunch because it's the thing we do after church. But now we do it with purpose. So as you begin to talk about the pastor and his sermon, do it with purpose. You start talking about the music, do it. No, I'm just kidding. They're going to sing a song and we're going to join with them. And I just pray that in the privacy of your pew, God has already met a lot of needs. But if you're unfulfilled today, if you don't know where your role in life is, if you're lacking purpose, guess what? Don't interview me. Don't ask for a counseling session with me. Go to God right now and ask Him what your purpose is. Because most of you, you already know it. It's just that life has blinded you from it. Life has robbed you from it. And regardless of your circumstances, you've just decided, I don't have a purpose. Yes, you do. And I'm sorry. I know I'm right on this. I know I'm right on this. Father, bless the next few moments. I pray that as we worship, our hearts will just reach out to heaven and we'll ask that question over and over again. Father, qualify your purpose in my life. Help me to leave here knowing what my purpose in life is. If I don't know, then Father, help me to pursue it to the point that I literally can find it, even to the point I could write it down. And I know why I'm here on planet Earth. It's because God and you fill in the blank. In Jesus' name, amen. Lead us in that, Pastor John. Atmosphere.